Good afternoon. 7 minutes past 12 midday. The man in line on till 1. Call 66 13 68. Email studio at manxradio.com. Text 166 177 on the SMS. So as of 4 o'clock yesterday afternoon, 45,943 tests had taken place on the Isle of Man. 183 people booked in for a COVID-19 test today. We had 8 new cases yesterday. That's a total of 391 active cases on the Isle of Man, and 10 people currently in Nobles Hospital with COVID-19. On the vaccination dashboard, 34,131 first dose administered, 15,306 second dose administered so far. And they're showing that we're currently holding in hand 11,238 shots of vaccine. So the vaccination process well underway at the moment. And heading towards an announcement on Thursday. There will be a media briefing on Thursday. Who knows if something's going to be relaxed? They're talking about relaxation of some type. If everything goes as planned by a week today. But I just wonder whether they're going to be bringing something out, a rabbit out of the hat for Thursday. We'll see. 8 new cases, all linked to existing cases. 4th day without unexplained transmission. That's 391. One in ICU at the moment, 10 people in hospital as well. So it's all happening on the Isle of Man today, particularly with Ben McCree, late leaving Douglas last night and delayed heading back to the island due to a build-up of silt in Douglas. It's a very low tide at the moment. But I can't remember, I don't know whether you can help me on this. When was the last time I had a problem with the Ben not sailing because of silt in Douglas Harbour? Particularly, I wonder where that silt is. Because we don't have a dredger anymore, do we? I think the dredger got sold. Maybe they could bring that one round from Peel, or maybe not. The landlord bill is still being considered in Keys and in Tynwald. And I just wonder whether the landlord bill affects you. The private landlords are very much up in arms about what's happening with the landlord's bill. They're almost calling it victimisation, really. The government penalising and putting pressure and putting restrictions and regulations on private landlords, as you heard in the news, that they think basically that the politicians are creating a solution to a problem that doesn't exist. Well, if you're a private tenant, I just wonder whether you feel this is a problem that doesn't exist or whether you think it actually does. Get in touch. Howard's first of all on the man in line. Good afternoon, Howard.
Good afternoon, Andy. Just to do with the steam packets, basically, well, it's not their fault. They can't sail into Heysham because of the spring tides. Silt, and that's always been a port that's silted up. But it just crossed my mind. The Ben has a 5-metre draft. And when she approaches in there at certain states of the tide, well, there's a possibility that she could ground, essentially. But what's going to happen when the new vessel arrives in 2023, which she's bigger than the Ben lengthwise, so obviously she's going to have a slightly greater draft, which means it's a possibility of more disruptions because of the depth of water she requires to go into harbour.
Well, I'm sure they've thought about that. I don't know whether this new one will have a less of a draft going in. But Heysham just, I mean, that's the problem the whole of the west coast of England's got in.
Yes.
That the east coast is disappearing into the sea and the west coast is coming out of it.
Yeah, well, Heysham is notorious and always has been, even when it was a railway port. But now that the steam packet is wholly owned by the government here, perhaps they could put pressure, because there's Peel ports that own the Heysham and Liverpool, where both our vessels sail to at the moment. But, you know, to keep that port clear, because the cargo vessels that's going in there, they're slightly smaller, maybe a less draft than what the Ben is, and going to be less draft than what the new Manx boat is, and that is a lifeline. to the island, and it's not the steam packet's fault. It's they're trying to get out. They left last night about 9:30, probably for the same reason. And that's more or less, I suppose, because she's, late coming back this morning.
I just wonder, though, do you remember Douglas Harbour ever silting up, though, like this?
Not as much as this, but I do remember it being dredged. And they used to have the Manon. The Manon 1, Manon 2, which they sold the Manon 2. And we all know what happened to that. She made a profit and then she went for sale. But they bought the Tarawoshti. And all they had was like a huge bar on the back of it, and they dragged that up and down the harbour and waited for the tide to go out to pull the silt out with it. And that was what they were doing, very similar to Hishamport. They had a relatively small pilot boat dragging a bar up and down, disturbing the silt, and when the tide went out, they hoped it took sufficient out to keep it clear. But with the amount of silt, as you say, on the East Coast, the West Coast as it is, all the way down through there, Fleetwood, Blackpool and everywhere, even where it used to go in, the Manx boats used to go into Fleetwood, that's virtually blocked off now with the silt that's built up. But Hesham itself has to be maintained and kept maintained, and Peel Port should be doing something about it, because it is a lifeline to the Isle of Man.
Well, we put a request in with the infrastructure people and the ports people to actually see what the government's going to do, what's the policy regarding the silt in Douglas Harbour. But we can't be having the Ben not going out because of silt, surely.
Well, she won't go out for silt because of safety, but that is down to the ports to maintain a workable port, because they're obviously charging the steam packet, or the government as it is now, they're charging them for the use of it, but they're not providing them suitable facilities. And, when we first started going in, the Manx Viking, I remember that, and there was nothing but mud coming up when she'd done a turn there, and gradually, bit by bit, they cleared the port. But now it seems to be a regular occurrence. This is one of many times I've heard that the ship couldn't sail or was delayed because of silt and low tides. But what concerns me, as I say, with they're going to use the new Manxman when she comes on in 2 years' time. Are we going to find this is a regular occurrence where you're not going to be able to sail into that port simply because of silt?
Okay. All right, Howard, thanks for calling.
Take care. Bye now.
Good to talk to you. It's 12:15 on a similar topic. We've also asked the Department of Infrastructure for an update on what's happening at Princess Halftide Dock, the new Isle of Man landing stage in Liverpool at the moment, because that's obviously going to be behind schedule. It was due to be finished at the end of this year, start of next year, the new Fastcraft terminal in Liverpool, about half a mile further downriver from the pierhead at the moment by the Liver building. But we've not heard back from that. As soon as we do, we'll let you know. There's lots of infrastructure projects. There's the promenade, of course, as well. Horse trams, the Isle of Man landing stage in Liverpool. And the silt thing is it's important. Sailings to and from the island have been cancelled because of the build-up of silt in Douglas Harbour. Steam Packet Company pulled this morning's 8:45 Ben McCree to Hesham, and obviously no 2:15 coming back, which means lots of stuff won't be heading into the shops. Lots of commercial freight won't be getting where it needs to be this afternoon and evening. They say the silt combined with a very low tide is to blame. Overnight sailings were affected. The Ben delayed leaving Hesham as well. Ben got in just after 10 o'clock this morning, which means, of course, the newspapers are late. My husband turned 75 a few months ago, says Davina. The television licence was in my name rather than his. I rang the UK licence department. They changed the name to my husband and said to continue paying the direct debit, we'd get a refund. 5 months later, nothing had happened. I rang last week and I was told I'd need to complete a form and provide evidence of age. I'm still waiting for the form. I've stopped the direct debit. The over 75 television licence in the Isle of Man. Don't pay it. Tony on the man in line. Hello, Tony.
How you doing, Andy?
Not bad. What's on your mind today, Tony?
Nothing serious, just the usual lack of joined-up thinking and writing by our government. Nobody's connected the fact that the harbour silting up could have something to do with the longshore drift along Douglas seafront and the build-up of sand, etc., etc., across the whole of the bay. They haven't seen it? Haven't noticed it?
Oh, crikey, it's way higher than it was 20-odd years ago and more.
Yeah, I can remember as a child going down there, and it was 10 steps down, especially by the War Memorial. That was probably about 6 steps. But the issue is at the far end, near the harbour, it used to be 20 feet down there, and it's not now. The point is longshore drift will move along the coast, and it will slowly silt up towards the entrance of the harbour, which will then silt up even more because of what is coming down from the rivers and is staying into the pool until they lower the gate, and then it all floods out in the harbour. So it's wonderful to have all these things, but they need to maintain, and they need to think about the long-term impacts.
Well, they've got an inner dredger, haven't they? There is a barge with a JCB on the back that occasionally scoops up all that goop from the bottom of the inner harbour, don't they?
That's correct, but the point is, when they lower those gates, anything that's there that's sort of left over will just flood straight out into the anchorage area. And that means that if you add that to the longshore drift, because they haven't got any groins left and they haven't dug anything out, you end up with the whole of the area around the harbour entrance will have a bank in there, because that's what it will do. I mean, I just can't believe that we've got nobody who can not see this. It's just appalling. And you're going to order a new vessel, and then you're going to find out, oh, my God, we've got a problem. We can't get into Douglas Harbour.
Well, we've asked the council, Douglas Council, because they're the ones responsible for Douglas Beach, and we've asked them whether the groins are going to be put back. And as yet, we actually haven't had an answer. They've not responded to our answer as to whether the groins, because groins will stop that drift, won't it?
It will, but the point is, first of all, have to clear the beach down to a lower level, which means you have to take all that sand and gravel, push it back out so that the tide at the end of the groins will carry it round and out of the bay. Because right now what you've got is just a build-up sitting up against the seawall, which, of course, when you get a winter storm, it means you're going to get waves coming over that seawall and all the way across the new promenade.
Oh, don't say that.
Well, it will, for sure, because once again, we spend all this money on promenades to make them look beautiful, and then nobody ever thinks about the fact the sea will not stop. And it's no good putting a higher wall in. It just means it will go further inland. I mean, I just despair, the lack of thought. I mean, Douglas Council, I can understand, they don't want to spend any money, but the issue is that also comes back to the harbour and a new vessel, which is the government. So the government need to put pressure on Douglas Council and say, right, we have a long-term plan here. We need to do this, this and this.
But Douglas Council's responsibilities seem to be diminishing. Remember, they lost the Villa Marina. They lost the horse trams as well. It may be that in the future, the Department of Infrastructure will just take over Douglas Beach.
Well, that would be an absolute disaster, because the Department of Infrastructure can't do anything right. Look at the roads. Do you think they'll be successful on a beach and a harbour? I don't think so. They'll have to go out and get some advice from very expensive people across, because
crikey,
we don't have the skill sets.
Yeah, well, yes. Well, we know where
longshore drift is taught in O-level at school, in younger school-aged children. It's not something new. It's something we've had for 1,000 years, hence the groins. But those groins have never been looked after, never been renewed. And nobody has ever connected the fact that if you leave longshore drift to just do it what it wants, you will end up with sand across the front of the harbour, which will then stop anything in the harbour from flowing out. I mean, it's not rocket science. This is straightforward. It's like drainage. It's the same thing.
Okay. All right, Tony.
It's just a thought. I just give up with them. Maybe Howard can come in and tell us what he thinks. All the best. Take care.
22 minutes past 12. A note in from Jocelyn, who just said, I wonder why people aren't reading the form given to them during vaccination after filling the consent form. They give you to read for the untoward effects or the side effects and advice on what to do. So here's the word from Jocelyn. If you're going for a jab to mitigate side effects, drink plenty of water, take an analgesic tablet. Another is to prepare yourself before the vaccine by building your immune system. Eat foods with anti-inflammatory effects, vegetables, fruits, vitamin C. Turmeric is good, apparently, says Jocelyn, although I'm advised by my turmeric experts, you have to get very high-quality turmeric, not the cheap stuff. Drink lots of water to hydrate yourself. Do walking exercise daily to help circulation, relieve aches and muscles, pain as well. I had my first dose, says Jocelyn. Don't feel anything, not even a sore arm. And Kate just said, I have a concern that my understanding of the present outbreak is that it all spread from a staff member at the steam packet who didn't isolate after leaving the ship. I don't understand what's happened with regard to future rules regarding crews mixing with the English crew, members and passengers and essential workers coming over now. Even though crew members have been vaccinated, this doesn't stop crew members on the steam packet catching the virus or, more importantly, spreading it to the community on the Isle of Man. So what exactly are the rules for both essential workers coming across, having interaction with the likes of hotel staff on the Isle of Man, and also crew members when returning to their homes with family members and also going out into the community without any isolation period? That's Kate and her take on the current situation as well. Keys, Tynwaldham, everything's happening on AM 1368 at the moment. And a very interesting figure came out. The airlines on the Liverpool, Manchester and Heathrow routes in the last 12 months during the COVID have been given a government subsidy of £4.5 million. The minister in charge, Tim Baker, he's back. Tim Baker, MHK, Minister of Infrastructure, said a careful watch was being kept that the Isle of Man was only being charged what it should be. So that's £4.5 million for the Liverpool, Manchester and Heathrow in the last 12 months, which basically is Loganair. A note in from Terry that said, Andy, I do hope the Department of Infrastructure sorts out Douglas Harbour before the new Manxman arrives, or we've wasted our money buying a new vessel. I can't remember when Douglas Harbour was dredged properly last. Maybe if we have any Douglas Harbour fans who can tell us, when was the dredger last actually doing its stuff in Douglas Harbour. Anyway, get in touch. Text, email or call anything on your mind. Call 66 13 68 as we head out of this. It's actually day 28, if you're counting. Lockdown 3, day 28 today. Remember, it was due to be 21 days and it didn't quite work out that way, did it? We never quite got that far. The infrastructure minister is talking about this. This is the private landlords bill. The infrastructure minister says a bill designed to regulate the private housing market is in good shape. This is Tim Baker. We're back to Tim Baker. He's ubiquitous, Mr. Baker. A significant number of amendments have been tabled by the landlord registration bill for it, as the Keys sits to consider clauses today. They're going through all the clauses. The MLA, the Manx Landlords Association, criticised the draft legislation for being unfairly weighted in favour of tenants, and it gave evidence to the House last week. So Tim Baker was asked if it's fair to regulate the private sector when they leave the public sector to do as it wants.
Yeah, there's got to be an alignment. And we're starting from fundamentally different places. I mean, obviously, we all know who the public sector landlords are, what their stock is. It is regulated in the sense of the local authorities that deliver the vast majority of public sector housing receive government funding. So there's a relationship already there. The minimum standards, of course, do apply across the board anyway. Whereas on the private sector side, there just isn't that visibility. There's no registration. There's landlords who are operating without any sort of relationship with any regulatory authority. albeit that many of them, or a significant number of them, particularly at the lower end, are receiving significant amounts of public funding through the benefits system, and which is paying for the tenants to live there. So it's a complex picture. This is it's absolutely right to start here, but as I've said to the Max Landlords Association, this is a journey that I very much hope that they will play a key part in. They're going to be involved in the standards and the regulations and guidance as a consultee. Doesn't necessarily mean we will always do what they are hoping for, because clearly there's a balance in all these things. But those are the nitty-gritty foundations of this.
A quick note in from Chris, who just says the landlord bill just will create another form of indirect taxation. Houses in the private sector vary in quality. The joke is it'll affect everyone, when the biggest tenant of substandard property could be the DHSS. It needs closer scrutiny because the administration's poor, personally indulgent, instead of listening to the population, says Chris. Howard's back. Hello, Howard.
Hi, Andy. No, I just listened to some of the people replying to what I was saying about the silt building up. As far as I'm aware, it is not Douglas Harbour. Douglas Harbour is operational. The problem, I think, and I'll stand to be corrected on this, is Heysham Harbour.
No, not at the moment, Howard. Today, it's Douglas Harbour.
Is it?
Yes, it is. It was the 8:45 this morning, didn't go because of a silt build-up in Douglas Harbour and a very low tide.
Now, that's new to me. I know there used to be regular dredging in Douglas Harbour, but I was on the impression it was Seasham Harbour, but I hold my hands up on that one. I thought it was across the water, because that's a regular occurrence. But Douglas Harbour, you surprised me on that.
No, it was Douglas Harbour. The Ben didn't get in till after 10 this morning. She left Heysham, oh, crikey, 4 o'clock in the morning or so, but didn't get in till 10 o'clock. Yes, it's Douglas Harbour. There's a build-up of silt.
Oh, well, that's disgraceful then. That's another DOI, perhaps that's putting speed ramps in. But there used to be a dredger here, and then, as I say, they had the Tarawushti. I don't even know where that's gone. But that was only just drawing a bar, as I say, along the bottom, and disturbing the silt, hoping that the tide would take it out. But if anybody remembers in the 1980s, I think it was, when they put that new breakwater in, they had to blast what they call the flakes, and to deepen the channel coming into Douglas Harbour. That was all done professionally by the people that built the breakwater. But since then, as Tony was saying, they've allowed all the groins on the promenade on the shore to deteriorate to a point where they're virtually non-existent. And I can remember as a child, we lived and we brought up in Douglas, and I'm over 70 now, that the groins were always there and always maintained with a decent sized timber. The last I saw put in there was marine ply, which is neither use nor ornament. But, yeah, I will stand corrected on that. Thank you for that. That's information I didn't know.
But, Howard, we're never going to beat nature, so how do we mitigate this with that longshore drift? What can you actually do about it, do you think?
Well, it was always there, and it was always controlled. And you used to get the tide coming in on a regular, twice daily, and it would shift the stone. But as Tony said, they are not shifting. No matter how many times you you put walls in, they're torn up X number of millions of pounds, that's the way they talk these days, to put another wall in. But it's clearing the stone and stopping the water running up. It's like a ramp for the tide to come in. And that promenade is it's reclaimed land from the 1930s, 1937, I think the gardens opened. So that's all reclaimed land that nature's trying to get back. And man will never beat it, but he can try to reduce it.
Was it changed, though, when the breakwater was put in, when the Stabbits went in? Did that change the wave dynamic at all, do you think?
I don't know. I'm not a technician on that side of it, but I would seriously doubt. There's a 5-knot tide runs up and down on the front of that, going right across the bay. And as I mentioned several weeks ago, when we had some very, very heavy rain and, of course, the muddy water come down the river. And I was up at Douglas Head looking out through, and you could see it didn't come onto the beach area around by the sea terminal, around anywhere around that. It went straight across the bay and looped around to where almost the bottom of Summer Hill. The bay itself was more or less clear, and that muddy water went right out across the bay, out to sea partially, and it came back in again over the Summerland end. So the groins will be helpful, but that breakwater, that breaks the water. It doesn't form a wall like the old battery pier did. But I don't know that. As Tony said, they'll have to pay for some consultants. There doesn't seem to be anybody in the DOI now.
Here come the noughts on the figures.
Yes, exactly.
Okay,
exactly.
Howard.
Take care.
All right, thanks. Good to talk to you. Juan's with us now. Good afternoon, Juan.
Afternoon, Andy. Nearly Friday again. Flume free Friday, Easter bunny train free Friday.
Oh,
and
yes.
Friday.
Yeah, well, we got lots of Easter eggs to look forward to, Juan.
Oh, absolutely. We can't even ask the doctor his opinion on the vaccines anymore. Isn't it great? Isn't it fantastic? What a world we're living in. Just on the point of the, you brought up the landlord's bill again today as a subject. I know we keep going on about it, but I just had an email this morning from the chairman of the Landlords Association, and contrary to Tim Baker's spin on all this, that everything's going hunky-dory, everything's not going hunky-dory. Mr. Baker's very, very good at spin and covering his department. And like I've said before, I think that the problem you've got is if you've not got a decent head in charge of the department, the civil servants run riot with these bills. And I have stressed this before, and we've emailed a lot of MHKs, and this will cause a problem. Now, I'm not defending any of the bad landlords, and there is a few. The majority are very good. People have no complaints, and if they do, they get looked after, or the problem gets sorted. But we have got to remember as well, there is a certain amount of people, as we have in every town or city or country, of undesirable tenants who don't look after the properties. So, you know, it is a very complicated situation. But Mr. Baker and the department are not handling this right. This should be given a lot more viewing. There is a lot of amendments in it, but as far as the landlords go, there's still a lot more work to do. So, again, if this does go through, I think there will be a lot of problems.
June, I think I'm going to make a sweeping generalisation. The vast majority of the population know nothing about this and probably don't care that much. So you have the private landlords on one hand, you have the government and civil servants on the other hand wanting to regulate this. Now, earlier on today, Stephen Moore said this is a politicians trying to solve a problem that doesn't exist.
Yes, I think what they're trying to do, and this is a big problem that I feel with government at the moment, connected up with the emergency powers that we're in and all the other things. They found this here little this little sword that they're wheeling about at the moment, and I think it's a dangerous time that we're in with all sorts of things connected to the Emergency Powers Act that are dwindling down from this. And I refer to a tweet that Chris Thomas made not too long ago in answer to someone, and it was what was it? There's so much in the programme of government which can now be implemented for emergency and can become structural reform for anti-poverty housing, public smart service, and so much more. So excited. So when a politician in the middle of a world crisis says he's excited, tends to me to think that they're up to something. And I think, like we said, just mentioned before there, that the councils have got less power. Government, central government seems to be taking over more power. So I think this has to be watched very, very carefully of how this is all going. And referring back to the landlord's bill, yes, there is a lot of stuff in there which has no need to be in there. 80 pages of legislation, no need whatsoever for it. There's a lot of stuff in place at the moment that's not even getting done. And that's government's fault for not checking up on that. So why don't they get that sorted out first before bringing this in? And if they're going to do this, to private people who have invested a lot of money into property and a lot of money into putting places in place for people to live, then they should bring in the whole of government as well and the councils, because I've been in some council houses who need a lot of work done to them. So if you're going to play with people who are investing into this island and putting property here for people to live in, then you should look after your own as well and put laws in place for that.
OK. All right, Joe.
Cheers, Andy.
Good to talk to you. And Vernon joins us on the Man in Line now. Hello, Vernon.
Hi, Andy. It's just about the steam packet and the silting.
Yeah.
When I was a kid, and I'm over 70 now, the Mona's Queen, Mona's Isle, and the, used to berth in the winter at the King Edward Pier on the shore side. There's that jetty that comes from Fort Anne.
Yeah.
And between there, but at a certain distance up there, and I think it was before the old car ramp that used to pick up people and go down, there is a wall. And the old Mananin, the old dredger, used to dredge all the silt out town side of that wall, which was all the silt that came down the river.
And how long ago was that?
Oh, God, come on. try about 50 years odd ago.
So
I don't know when the old dredger disappeared, but it did disappear, because we used to go down there as kids, because the old steam thing was going, and the up would become the muck from below and tipped in, and then the old boat would go out and dump it somewhere in the bay.
But can you remember the last time Douglas Harbour silted up so the boat couldn't go?
No, I can't remember that. But what I can remember, and there is a film, and I think I might have been watching some. It's a model, and before they put the stabards into extended the breakwater pier, they put there was a model, and they did the wave pattern and everything like that on this model, and they knew exactly where the drift was going to go. I don't know whether it must have been on BBC, because at those days we only used to get BBC, I think.
It's interesting. So maybe anybody. I just wonder who the engineers were who put the stabbets in there. It'd be interesting to see that wave model of what would happen.
I can't remember the name of them. It was something and something.
Yeah, they always are, aren't they, Vernon?
Yeah, but if you have a, just ask. Ask the question. Pose the question just quickly online to see: does anybody know who the people that put the stabbets in were? And somebody might come up with it.
Okay.
But I know going into Heysham, because my dad was a captain, not in the steam packet. But Roger Moore took me up on the bridge one day, and we were going in or Crellin, I can't remember which one it was, and we watched a depth detector, and there was only about 4 to 6 foot underneath the one of whatever ship it was in those days going into Heysham at very low tide. It's very close to the natural fact. The boat, even then, and I'm going back about 20 years, was virtually skipping along the sand at the bottom.
Okay. All right, Vernon, thanks for calling.
All right. Be in touch.
Good
Bye.
To talk to you. Yes, so if there's a question, who knows? Who were the consulting engineers then, the architects for the stabbets and the breakwater? And do you remember that film about what the wave pattern would be across Douglas Bay subsequent to the stabbets and the breakwater going in?
The Spectrum Windows team wanted to let customers know we are still available for sales and general inquiries as usual. We're open for emergency calls and essential repairs subject to strict COVID-19 guidelines. And Spectrum Windows is happy to provide non-face-to-face quotations for our products and to supply brochures. Just call 817777 or email mail@spectrumwindows.im. Call us and share your ideas. You can still plan to enhance your home this year with Spectrum Windows.
Mike's Motors of Castletown is your local family-owned car, van and motorhome dealer. Down at Mike's Motors, we have a whole range of affordable vehicles with finance easily arranged and part exchange welcome. We don't just sell motorhomes, we buy them too. So if you have a motorhome for sale, don't delay. Call us today. Visit our website, mikesmotors.im, find us on Facebook or call 823-200. That's 823-200 if you're looking to sell your motorhome.
Working from home? Manx Telecom has the laptop bundle you need, available over 24 months. Like the Dell Inspiron with Microsoft Office Home Edition, just £30 a month. Or the Dell XPS 13 with Office Home Edition for just £66 a month. And upgrade any bundle to Microsoft Business Edge for just £2 a month. Whatever spec you need, Manx Telecom has a Dell laptop bundle for you. So check out NTIM now for details, terms and conditions.
Let's plan together for the better days to come. Whatever the legal situation, LVW Law has the solution, which starts with a free 30-minute consultation. Whether buying or selling your home, our conveyancing department are here to help. Call to request our free will questionnaire. If you need representation in court, whether that's for commercial, criminal or family, we're on your side and offer legal aid. LVW Law. Call 836 757 to book your free 30-minute consultation. Conditions apply.
It's Easter time and Caroline North is back with a three-day event. We have prizes to give away of Caroline merchandise and the whole weekend is sponsored by Marsh Industries. Join us this weekend, Friday, Saturday and Sunday for Caroline North.
1368 AM.
The Man in Line with Andy Wint.
Eddie's with us on The Man in Line. Hello, Eddie.
Hi there. I worked on the groins in the 70s. We used to start around about April, March, April, to make sure they were all in place for the summer. And then September, October, we'd be down to replace any damage for the winter.
And this was for the corporation, was it?
Yes, the corporation. Plus, we used to have the JCB, which used to go the full length of the promenade and take everything down to about 6 foot. So that when the waves come in, it would hit there and bounce back again.
And who decided what the programme of work would be for the year, Eddie?
Joe Kane was the work supervisor. So he would plan it all out with put a surveyor.
And what was the biggest job? Was it replacing the timbers?
Yeah, no, they were nearly all cut to size. They would be something like 8 by 3. And they used to fit into place, and they used to have wooden wedges to keep them in place.
Now, Eddie, did you get the feeling did you get the sense, really, that the groins were doing a worthwhile job there?
Oh, aye. You could see that where the sand was and all the way along the thing. And, of course, the main problem of what happened, which people, all the old-timers I'm talking about, like Bobby Leave, Bobby Ash, and the Cunn boys, they were all fishermen, and they all went and said, you put a breakwater out as far as you were going to put it, then you were going to stop what they call a self-flushing bay. Because when the tide came in on the flood, it would whip in round Douglas Head, down along the beach and out over past Onkenhead, and clear the bay all the time. Well, when you've gone and put that breakwater out, that extra piece, well, it deflects your tide past the bay. And that's why you're getting all the silt. And, of course, you'd also put a marina in. Now, I used to sail on the steam packet many years ago. When it'd been a heavy storm and lots of rain, we would hit muddy water about a mile out from Douglas, where it would have been flushed out of the harbour with all the force of the rain coming down the river. Now you don't see that, because it's not happening, so it's building up. Your silt is building up all the time. And, of course, you got shut of the Cedar, which was a perfect little dredger. And they got this, I don't know what you'd call it. It was a waste of time, anyway. I don't know if they still got it.
So, in your opinion, Eddie, do you think it was wrong to get rid of the groins? Because we've asked, but it seems that the groins aren't coming back.
Well, they did the job when I was a younger man than I am now. I thought, you beach was always nice and clean. I mean, the amount of seaweed you've got now, but in them days, the farmers used to come down and take the seaweed. They'd, you know, take it up for the fields and use it for fertilizer. Now it's just put down to the bottom of the tides mark. And all it does is it just washes around and comes back again.
Oh, you can tell me then, Eddie, where were the groins made? Where were they cut?
What do you call it? Usually Quiggins or the steam sawmill. Whoever got the put in the best price.
And what wood was it they used?
I'd say it was fifths, actually. It wasn't the best of timber, if you understand me, because it was only going there to do a purpose of trying to keep the sand in the area where you wanted it to be kept. I mean, Douglas Beach, in the 60s, the sand used to run from basically the septum, the full length right down to Derby Castle. Now you've got loads of stones all the way along the line now. If you have a look at any of the old photographs, you'll see that the sand is there.
Thanks for being with us today, Eddie.
Yeah,
appreciate it.
Mate.
All right, good to talk to you. Let's go to Adam on the man in line. Hello, Adam.
Hi, Randy. You all right?
Good. What's on your mind, Adam?
I was just going to tell you, during the winter time, I was down in Devon, as you know, and I rang the man in line a couple of times to give an update on the Save Douglas's Lights campaign.
Yeah.
And while I was down there, I'm an open water swimmer. I've told you that before. But when I was down there, I was swimming in the River Ex. And I was swimming at Exmouth, and I swam out to the Green Buoy, which marks the boundary of the channel down there. And a ship came sailing past, and I looked at the ship, and it was a tiny little thing. And I thought, that's very unusual to see that coming up here. And it was the Manin, and I'd never heard of the Manin. But later that day, I went for a walk around Exmouth Marina, and she was berthed down there. And it turns out, and I thought, that's obviously a Manx ship. I thought, I'm going to find out what that is. And I looked on the internet, and it comes, obviously it was the Manin Dredger, which used to be owned by the Alaman Harbours Board, and Exmouth Harbour had chartered it to dredge the harbour down there.
So the Manin's in Exmouth Harbour?
Yeah, she's been in Exmouth Harbour all winter. She's been dredging it down there, and she's owned by Padstow Harbour Board in Cornwall, and she goes all around the UK. They charter her out all around the UK to Ramsgate and places, and she goes around and she dredges the harbours. But so they could charter it back again from Padstow Harbour Board if they wanted to.
Are you swimming on the island at the moment?
Yeah, I am, yeah. Not in Laxey.
No. On your own, I take it.
Yeah, on my own.
All right. What's the water like at this time of year?
It's very cold. It's 7 degrees. But it's lovely and clear over here. Down there, it's very silty because of the sandstone cliffs. But over here, it's beautiful and clear.
Okay. Adam, thanks for clearing that up.
Thanks, Andy.
Good to talk to you. The Manin Dredger in the southwest of England.
This is the Isle of Man talking. The Manin Line.
You love the food at Port St. Mary Golf Pavilion. So don't go without this lockdown. Throughout the week, order for collection or delivery straight from our kitchen to your dining table. Enjoy afternoon tea and cakes or hot food delivered across Port St. Mary and Port Erin. And our Sunday carvery collections are on every Sunday. Who's at the door? It's delicious food, contact-free from Port St. Mary Golf Pavilion. Find all the details on Facebook or at psmpavilion.im.
It's okay to feel down sometimes. It's okay to be anxious and worried. And it's okay to get help when you do. We all need to talk about our mental health openly and honestly. Often talking's enough, but it can also be the first step to finding the right help and support. So if you're worried about someone, all you have to do is say three little words.
Are you okay?
Visit areyouok.gov.im for help and advice. And let's get talking.
We live in very challenging times. And interest rates are at all-time lows. Yet we must plan for the future. Whether you're looking to grow your money, generate more income, or protect what's really important to you, trust InvestorSure to formulate and implement a plan that works. InvestorSure distribute the products and services of award-winning St. James's Place Wealth Management. And suitability of your advice is guaranteed. Let's start your plan. InvestorSure. 615-751. Licensed by the Isle of Man Financial Services Authority.
Never before have I seen such natural beauty. Yards of luscious green grass to my right are bordered by beds of tall sunflowers, as graceful, aromatic lilies embrace the sunshine, hugging a majestic wooden structure looking wisely over its kingdom. This garden could be your reality. The Southern Home and Garden Store showroom is now open 7 days a week. Visit the showroom on the Balthane Estate or view Southern Home and Garden Store on Facebook.
The Man in Line with Andy Wint.
9 minutes before one, Wilf's with us. Hello, Wilf.
Hiya. It's actually been said what I was going to say, only I can add a little bit to it, about the silt. The main thing, there's three things that has happened that's caused the silt. The first thing, which can be rectified, they got rid of our good Jedje. And they got that useless Tariushi thing that can't do anything. It's absolutely useless. Anyway, that's out of the way. What they want to do first is get another proper Jedje. Then they can dredge all around the island, do the whole job. Our old Jedje is still working, as just been said. Now then, they want to listen to Howard, because Howard is a very wise man, and he's got the age. And the next fellow that was on, who has worked on all these things, listen to him. He had it spot on. Now, what they've done now, they've made this marina, and they've shut off the river flow. When the river was in flood, it carried all the silt out into the bay. Then they put the stabbards up, and that took the flow out of the bay. It took the north flow out. And the north flow used to clean the bay. It's as simple as that. Man has done it, but they're not going to undo it. The only thing they can do now is get themselves a proper dredger and do the job.
Ramsey doesn't need any dredging, does it? Is there anything needs?
No. The man used to come to Ramsey and do Ramsey Harbour. But now they do it with diggers now and push it out into the river flow, and the river takes it out. But we have got a sort of a problem on the South Beach in Ramsey, where everybody goes. That's their main beach, because that's a sheltered beach, and it's now designated as a safe swimming area and all that business. When they filled in a gap in the stone pier, the old fisherman said that will put the sand on the South Beach. And it did, to the extent that it pushed the sand up onto the promenade. There's the lifeboat slip, and then along a little bit further, there's another slip, a small slip. And they've had to board that off because the sand gets pushed up onto the promenade. Now, when I was a young fella, before they filled this, the stone pier in, you could jump off the corner when the tide was in, and you could go right under the water. Now then, you can step onto the sand. It actually wants to improve that area. It's covered with weed at the moment. Nobody's doing anything about it. That needs scraping back at the moment. But that's what happens. When man interferes and shuts off the thing, what they do, they're interfering with, well, in this case, in Ramsey, they were interfering with good men's work in the past. There used to be a gap in the stone pier, and they filled it in, and then the sand can't go through that gap, and they spilled it up.
Okay, all right. Wilf, thanks for calling us today. Always good to hear you. And Rod's with us. Hello, Rod.
Hello, Andy. I think the name you were looking for earlier that built the new breakwater was French Kier.
French Kier?
Yeah, that's French, K-I-E-R.
And they're the people that did that. Yeah. Okay. All right. You weren't involved with that, were you, Rod?
Andy, people like Eddie, who was on before, and this last chap, all that they've said was true, and people wouldn't be listened to back in the day. I mean, I had an uncle who was a captain on the steam packet, and he said exactly the same thing about the flow and the way the water came round the headland, the tide and the currents. That breakwater would do away with all that, and they'd end up with this problem now.
Well, I just wonder how we're going to get out of this, because, I mean, we can't have Douglas Harbour silting up.
Well, the last chap's got the only solution there, really. They've got to get a dredger.
Okay. All right, Rod, thanks for calling us today.
You're welcome.
Good
Bye.
To talk to you. Thanks. That's it. Gotta go. Gotta get out of here. The next everybody's asking if there's a briefing today. No, Thursday. Thursday briefing before Good Friday. Who knows? They may be trying to spring some good news on us, eh? Des said, just for information, Douglas Harbour has banks built up by the bend. When the bend comes in, engines full astern, dragging everything that's underneath it, pushing it into a bank. Same alongside the berth. It's been happening for years. That's it. Gotta go. Stick around for late lunch, and thanks to Barry Redfern producing today. Remember, everything that comes in doesn't get used, but we do read everything. So thanks for all your messages and texts. And the answer phone messages as well. Man in Line is back tomorrow, 12 midday. Watch out for fog on the mountain, by the way. WINT